The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Hold on to your hats because it's marvelous, magnificent, mesmerizing, motivational Monday as we put our hands to the plow of advancing the kingdom of God and never looking back. First up, have you ever seen a movie where they show people passing around the offering basket in the church? Well, there's always that one person that you think, did that person take money out of the basket or did they put it in the basket? We're going to talk about that, how not to be that person when dealing with God. Also, Christians, sometimes we can be nudniks. It's a fact. But there's great mercy from God. Trying to deny that there is an incredible amount of guiltiness before God is kind of dishonest. So there's not a ton of room on our end for whining, even if you like cheese. And finally, I share a story from my past about doing better in a certain area, but then finding out that I wasn't doing better in that certain area. What was I thinking?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Get some of those today. Spiritual observations. Get a few of those today. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, there's three ways to get in touch with us. You can reach out to us via the email, electronic mail. That's what email is. You can just write the email to david@hemustincrease.org. It will actually show up on my $1.55 Chromebook right here. So that's pretty good. Number two, you can text in 214-210-8483. Nothing wrong with texting. Texting's a great way to communicate. Some people don't like to call. They like to text. That's up to you. 214-210-8483. Finally, when all is cloudy in the world and the winds are beating about and you just need things to be like a warm blanket all around you, that's when you can call in 972-445-0770 and Terrific T will answer the phone and you will just feel right as rain. There it is. Right as rain. 972-445-0770. Actually, after you do the last zero, you just start feeling right as rain right then and there. Isn't that great? All right, here are a couple things to remember. You can do it about praise reports. We'd like to hear about things that God is doing. Even if they seem insignificant to you, they might be a great blessing for somebody else. For prayer requests, we're going to talk about that a little later on. My wife called me yesterday for a prayer request, and the Lord answered her prayer because prayer works. Also, opportunities to ask a question, opportunities to make a comment, as long as you keep it cool, we're totally okay with that. And then we also do this really, really weird thing called trivia. And the reason we do Bible trivia is to keep the Bible in our brains so that we can have the Word of God moving about from the left to the right hemisphere or from your left ear to your right ear. Either way you want to say it. Here's the first of the trivia questions. Here we go. Ready? Okay. Here we go. I want you to make sure. Okay. What does the name Emmanuel mean? Now, we're not talking about Emmanuel Lewis. We're not talking about anybody like that. What does the name Emmanuel mean? I have a strong feeling people will know the answer to that. Keep in mind, by the way, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. We got somebody calling in. We got people texting in. That's how I like to do it. I like it. That's the way we're going to do it. Okay, so do we have somebody calling? Do they want to answer? Here we go. Here we go. Moving my finger over. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hi, Al. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and yes, I wanted to answer. I didn't want to order a pizza this time.
So. I'll take extra cheese pepperoni. I want it well done, please. That's great. Fantastic. All right, my friend, here we go. This is a classic, a simple one, straightforward. We want to know what the name Emmanuel means.
Does it mean God with us?
That is correct, sir. You are 100% on target. I think it's a fascinating thing. I think I might have mentioned this to you before, and if not to you, maybe to Ace or somebody as well, but it's amazing how in Matthew chapter 1, you have God with us. That's the name for Jesus. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus says, I am always with you. And it's like the beginning and the end of the gospel. You get to find out God is for you. God is with you.
Oh, did not know that. No, yeah. It must have been with Ace.
Yeah, that's just a classic kind of thing. It's like it starts and it ends, and the Lord is there in both places. You know, the Alpha and Omega thing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Very good.
Excellent, my brother. Thank you. God bless.
You have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. All right, off and rolling. See, that's how we do it. We don't just do regular Mondays. We do moving Mondays. Only we're not actually moving because who likes to move? Anyway, bottom line. Let's do a quick DNA, and then we'll get into our first teach. Are you good for that? Ready for this? Here we go.
Let's do it.
DNA, that's what you're made of. I don't care what the news is. People are like, you should care. Okay, but in a year, it's not going to be that. But my Christian DNA will be the same. Now, isn't that important? It'll be the exact same. D for DNA stands draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, not Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. The N stands for never be ashamed of Jesus and his words. Ever, because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. That's not a good thing. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter what the moment is. You should always be prepared if the Lord calls upon you. I'll give you a good example. Not a great example, just a mild example. So my wife was having a very difficult time at work yesterday because the people that were coming in to inspect today, last time they came in, they were less than kind. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm saying. Less than kind. And so she was just stressing out a little bit last night, trying to get everything prepped for all the big district managers and all these people coming in. And so she called me up and she said she was stressing. We just stopped everything. Reset the priorities together, talked about what our real priorities are in life. We prayed together and then hung up. Then when she got home, she said, after that, I was doing a lot better. I just kind of felt more settled and more right. And they came in today and they had nothing but nice things to say. So, you know, sometimes you just got to go stop. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to lift it before the Lord and let it go. And sometimes the key is in the letting it go. Right? Because that's when the Lord kind of does stuff you don't even think about. Right? There you go. And so I'm very proud of her. She's a fantastic employee, but I'm just really proud of her. She's a fantastic wife. Okay. Now, having said all that, let's do our first teach. Okay. Jeremiah 34:15-16. Some of you will really appreciate this. Although recently, this is the scripture, although recently you had turned and done what was right in my sight, each man proclaiming release to his neighbor, and you made a covenant before me in the house, which is called by my name, yet you turned and profaned my name. And each man took back his male servant and each man his female servant whom you had set free according to their desire, and you brought them into subjection to be your male servants and your female servants. You don't see a lot of this in Scripture, but you see this in this moment in Jeremiah where God sends the prophet makes a proclamation, and the people go, "You're right. You're right, God." Which is like, yes, that's good. Very good. Very good to think that God is right. And they're like, "We're going to do the right thing." And then they started to do the right thing. Isn't that fantastic? Except about halfway through doing the right thing, they stopped doing the right thing, and they went back to the wrong thing. And the Lord said, "You took it back. You took it back." This is much like when you go up to the altar to lay your sin at the altar, to lay your burden, lay your trouble, lay your concern, lay your worry at the altar, and then you turn around and go back to your seat, and before you sit down on your blessed assurance, you grab that same problem and stick it in your back pocket again. That's called taking it back. When you commit something to the Lord, don't take it back. You think, "Well, I can't take it back." He tells them, "You're taking it back. You're doing that." And we do that. So I'll give you a kind of a, not really, yeah, okay, humorous. Many of you did not see this movie, but some of you did. You ever see Burt Reynolds in the movie The End? In the movie The End, he thought he was going to die. And so he tries to make a deal with God, okay? Kind of humorous. It's all like, you know, tongue in cheek. He's like, "Lord, I'll give you 50% of all of my money, 50% of all of my income." He finds out he's going to live. And then he thanks the Lord and he goes, "You know, I didn't really mean that 50%. I only meant 10%. And then the person who's chasing him the whole movie starts to chase him again. He goes, "Okay, Lord, I take it back again, again. I go back to the 50%. How about 40%, Lord?" And so he keeps changing the amount. The point is we make some kind of offering or something up to the Lord, and then we change it. We alter it. We take it. Look it. If you make a commitment to the Lord, stick with it. Okay? If you make a commitment to walk in a better sense of righteousness, stick with it. Let me just say this because the holidays are coming up. If you make a commitment to imbibe less, stick with it. Okay? If you make a commitment to eat a little better, stick with it. If you make this commitment because you're trying to do it in such a way as to honor your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, don't take it back. And if you made a commitment to trust in the Lord more, don't trust in the Lord less. Don't take it back. If you make that commitment, that pledge to the Lord, honor that pledge. Be above board. Be righteous. Be right in that capacity. You'll never have enough self-righteousness or personal righteousness to earn your way in, but be a person of your word, especially when you're dealing with the Lord. You make the commitment, stand by the commitment. You make a commitment to somebody to pray for them, pray for them. Did you pray? You're praying for them every day? Pray for them every day, if that's your commitment. Okay? Okay. Stop taking it back. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men." Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
Hey, 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 hey,
It has been four years and six months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love hearing Ray on the Ray. I just enjoy him. He's just really this guy. I mean, he's not like a saint or, you know, like the sense of, like, oh, he's just perfect. It's not like that, man. He just absolutely loves the Lord. And it's like when you talk to him, it's like you just get this sense that he's like, I just can't wait for Jesus to come back. I mean, he's just so excited. And when you see him teach, he's one of the better Old Testament teachers. A lot of times when people teach the Old Testament, snoring. I mean, it's kind of boring. But he does a really fantastic job. So I think that's awesome. All right. I will not forget, because I know that I have T looking right at me, I will not forget to mention to you that this particular trivia question is in fact brought by our very good friends Coach and Texas Air King. And again, I strongly encourage you to go to TexasAirKing.com, check it out, talk to Coach, find out if you've got a problem going on, talk to Coach. Find out what the real solutions are, what you can do. We're going to play the clip and then do the trivia question. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
There you go. All right, here we go. Here's a... I didn't say it was going to be an easy one today. I don't think I said that. I'm pretty sure I didn't say that, in fact. Here it is. What was the name of the criminal who was released in place of Jesus? Wow, that's nobody's. Zing, zing. People are so fast when they call now. What was the name of the criminal that was released, right, in place of Jesus? So we got somebody on the phone. This is fast. All right, let's roll. Let's roll. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Well, I'm making it.
All right, my brother. And again, every day I'm praying for you, Gary, just that the Lord will give you the blessing that you're searching for and seeking for. I believe he will. So I'm going to keep trusting him for that.
Okay.
All right, now here we go. It's a classic. So who was the criminal who was released in the place of Jesus?
Barabbas.
Barabbas is correct. Yes, sir. That is right. All right, did you know that right away? Did you just I know that one for sure. Did you ever see, I just have to ask, did you ever see the movie Barabbas? They did a movie about it. Did you ever see it?
You know, I think I missed that.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. I'm saving you an hour and a half. Yeah, Don't worry about it. Not that good. Excellent job, Gary. Fantastic. And then, like I said, in fact, let me pray for you real quickly while I got you on the phone, okay? Let me just pray a blessing. Lord, we just ask a blessing on Gary. We ask you just to touch him physically in the name of Jesus, that he would just know the power of the Holy Spirit physically, emotionally, and he would have a charge, an encouragement from you, from your grace, from your mercy, because you are able and because you are kind. We ask you to grant that to him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, and amen, and thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, bro.
And have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. God bless. All right. Let's not forget our website, which I keep forgetting all the time now, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so I am going to encourage you guys. I'm going to encourage you guys to please go to HeMustIncrease.org and give if you're able to give. It's pretty straightforward. The site was down over the weekend because we were attacked again. We're too small to get attacked that much. It's just got to be, you know, WordPress. Or HostGator. Okay, well, maybe not. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we're attacked again. I got everything working again. So everything should work out just fine. There should be no problems. We're all in the safety secure. Everything's fine, fine, fine. If you can't give, but you have your heart set on, you know, just blessing the ministry, then pray for us. That's all we would ask. That time that you commit to prayer is you joining us in our effort. In Romans 15:30, Paul said, join with me in my struggle by praying for me. That's how you do it right there. Okay? All right. Did I miss anything? Okay. I want to do a follow-up to that whole take-back thing. So, you know, that was a little tougher opening on a Monday. It's like, ooh, yeah, take back. That's not – you don't want to make some kind of pledge to the Lord, then take it back. Make a pledge to the Lord, then take it back. And all of us do it, so don't try and get, you know, overly holy about this whole process. I'm going to actually flip this around. I'm changing the whole show. I did this 5 minutes ago while we were doing the show. And I want to read you this story. This is from my past, but you will understand it as it pertains to the present, okay? I'm just going to read this because I wrote this out from the past, but I think it's very pertinent on the take back, okay? All right. As believers, this is what I wrote. I wrote this as believers, we can still really go through it. And that means trials and temptations and troubles and pains and different things. The other day I had a stellar day, and then the day after that I had a black-eyed day, which means that I did really great one day, and the next day I got punched in the eye. When I came home, I turned into my parking space. So this is in California, where we live. It seemed simple enough after a tough day to take a left-hand turn and to go into my parking space. Okay? My tire hit the curb, right? And splat. Splat is maybe the sound you would think of when you take a fly swatter and get a fly. My wife comes running out, and I park the car to see what's up, like I put it in park. My underguard and the wheel well fell off my car under the cement where I was. Okay? So, as you know, that when your stuff underneath your car falls off, that might not be the moment that you're setting off fireworks saying yay. Okay? All right? Sat on the curb, and I just looked up. And I wrote this down because this is how it happened. I shook my head and said, I'm not sure what's going on, but whatever you want, you want, you want. And then I sighed. So what I said, whatever you want, you want, you want. Fine. Okay? All right. I wrote this down. I wasn't going to win an argument with God, so I decided to try to just clean up the parts and find out what it was going to take to fix the car. I knew that the small hit on the tires against the curb wasn't enough to do the damage I was looking at, so something else was going on, and I'm not a car guy. I have no idea. Here's the giddy up. Ready? Earlier that day on the way home, I was praying to the Lord, about how the day had been kind of overwhelming and had its very challenging moments. I told him that I really did want to be thankful for my situations, even if I didn't understand them. Do you ever go through something, you just can't figure out why it's happening? Why is this happening? What is going on? That's usually the time where you turn and say, why is the universe against me? I wouldn't die to defend this, but I sensed the Lord was challenging me to thank him, even though there was nothing thankful about that circumstance, but literally challenging me this, that he really actually does truly have my best interests in mind. That's super easy to believe when you get a gift. It's super easy to believe when you can pay your bills. It's not super easy to believe when the front part of your car falls in your driveway. Get it? But to believe that he's really in control of everything that goes on, wouldn't that be fantastic if I truly trusted him? How novel that would be. Next day, I called the dealership to find out about my warranty possibilities and to get a general idea of what was next. While I was talking to the service manager, I mentioned that I was somewhat thankful that it happened in my driveway. He said, and I quote, and I wrote this in quotes, "No kidding, that was more than convenient." That's what he said to me. Instead of trusting that God may have kept the undercarriage on my car intact until the perfect timing that I drove into my driveway and then have it fall off, all I can see was my own inconvenience. The mechanic had a better grasp on what happened than I did, and he wasn't even there. I apologized to the Lord right then and there. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The reason that I told you that story is it's part of the take-back process, and that's why I led with the take-back process. Because we make an offering or a pledge or a commitment to God, then we take it back. We say, I'm going to be thankful for the things that take place in my life, then something happens, and it doesn't fall in our favor, and we lose that thankfulness in like a moment. And here was a mechanic who knew, well, you're just very blessed that that thing fell off in your driveway and not on a California freeway where it would have been a disaster. And instead of seeing this as something that the Lord was watching over me in, protecting me and had my best interests in mind, I saw this as an inconvenience. And I just made a commitment to be thankful. And then I took it back. If we really believe that he'll cause these things to work together, it doesn't mean that you smile and dance through each moment, but it does mean you don't complain. It does mean you trust. And it does mean that you and I need to think and believe that he has our best interests in mind. And when we don't do that, we insult him and degrade our own level of faith. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible Trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, I sure hope everybody's going to have a very nice Christmas time. For those that are much more committed to the spiritual side of it, enjoy that. For those that are much more committed to the family side of it, enjoy that. For those who are committed to the social side of it, enjoy that. Just make sure that whatever you do, that Jesus is always the reason for the season. There's nothing bizarre or weird. I'm not one of those people. Yeah, they should have the day off. They shouldn't have the day off. I don't care. Here's the bottom line. Enjoy Jesus. Okay? That's what you're called to do. Do that. Yeah, you may as well start getting used to it since you're going to be doing that for about a trillion, gazillion, zazillion years. You may as well know what's going on there. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. Gonna get harder, remember? Gonna get harder. What was the name of the mother of Abraham's first son? What was the name of the mother? Now notice there's a little trickery there. What was the name of the mother of Abraham's first son? That's all I'm going to give you. Got to work with that. Got to go from there. The number to call, pretty straightforward, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483 for the text. Let's remember the website, hemustincrease.org. And there it is. And there it is. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Don't forget to check out our website. Got some new stuff up there. I don't think I have anything really new on Facebook. I'm back on Facebook, but I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm so like, you know.
It's like once you take the break, it's like, no point of going
it's
back.
It's not the same, right? I mean, it's one thing to sit there and see pictures of people like from the past or, you know, and then sit there and see pictures of like, you know, the kids and the grandkids and doing stuff. I mean, that part I like, but they always send them to me on my phone. So I don't, it's not like I can't find them. It's like kind of weird. In fact, I usually take them and put them on my post. Eh, that's besides the point. All right, somebody ready for the answer to the question? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary again.
Hey, Gary again. See, that's what I'm going to call you when you call the second time. That's your new name when you call the second time. Gary again. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right, my friend, here we go. The name of the mom of Abraham's first son.
Of his first son. You want his first son.
Yeah, that was the woman who was given to him as a wife by his other wife.
Yeah, it was 86. He was 86 years old, and
yep, when that
was
one.
Ishmael.
Right. So who is Ishmael's mom?
I was thinking about Sarah, but
Used to be a cartoon with this guy. He was I'm trying to think. He gave me a couple of different ways.
I had Sarah on my mind.
No, but that's okay. That's all right. There's no problem with it. Remember the cartoon of the caveman kind or the Viking kind of guy? He was Blank the Horrible. he was old. A Viking guy. I'm trying to think if there was a comic strip for that. If you wake up in the morning and you don't look good, you look kind of blankered.
That was Sarah's handmaiden.
Yeah, correct.
But I can't think of her name right.
That's all right. That's all right.
Somebody else have a chance here.
Okay, let me just refresh your memory. It starts with an H, right? It's an H A, and it goes into a G sound. So.
Hagar,
that's right. All right,
I just had Sarah on my mind.
That's right. Once you hear a question and then you get that in your brain, it's hard to get it out because that's what you're thinking. So that's pretty normal.
Hagar,
that's right. Hagar, either way, either whether you're from Detroit or from New Mexico, either one of those would work out just fine. Good Hagar. Job on that. Thank you for calling, my brother.
Okay, thank you.
Eric nailed that down right away as well. There's a bunch of people that nailed that down right after. I'll just give props to Eric. Hi, Eric. How you doing? Okay. We got to do history because I have to do this one because it contains a joke.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, there's no evil in this whatsoever, so I want to make sure everybody knows that it's National Hamburger Day. I'm sorry. I'm for that. You know, I like hamburgers. I'm not apologetic for that at all. I mean, come on, it's a hamburger, right? Like, In-N-Out Burger is like, come on, that's so good.
Not In-N-Out, Whataburger.
You like Whataburger, don't you?
Yes.
You're a big Whataburger. I had a very good friend that was a Whataburger manager. Do you get a regular, or do you get something like with the sauces, the barbecues, and stuff like that? What do you get?
I mean, I've had it all, kind of, pretty much.
Okay.
But I really like the bacon and cheese.
The bacon and cheese one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, watch this. This makes no sense to me. You can help me understand this. On the one hand, it's Humbug Day. Wait. But on the other hand, it's Look on the Bright Side Day. So you just think that there were two people together coming up with stuff, and one went one way, and one went another way.
Bah humbug.
Bah humbug. It's like, what happened? So there's my favorite, though. It's Forefathers Day. But let me just explain this. How do you know that Moses had four fathers because he slept with his forefathers? Ta-da! We're open every night, twice on Saturday and Sunday, dark on Monday. No, wait, it is Monday. That's good. This day in 1913, the first crossword puzzle was published. And then this, I just had to say it because it's just one of those classic. Yeah, I can just totally see this happening for some sad reason. Remember the movie Home Alone? Remember the kid Home Alone, and he was like left alone? Okay,
of course.
All right. This is really happened. 1992. Two Chicago girls, age 9 and 4, call 911 after overfilling a bathtub and setting off a smoke alarm. Police found that they had been left alone while their parents took a 9-day vacation to Acapulco, Mexico. It's like, really? Really? It just didn't dawn on you they're 9 and 4 and we're going to go to Acapulco for 9 days. I don't know how to respond to that. I'll respond by saying, play some Christmas music. What do we got for Christmas music? What do you got? Anything? Let's play it. It's like jazzy Christmas music.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus.
All right, here we go. All right, so I want to make sure that you guys know that I'm still for you on Christmas, and I have some really cool teachings, and Wednesday is going to be like one of my favorite sermons. It's called Before the Ho, 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 okay? Because, come on, it's classic. And but this is a really important point. So on Friday, we talked about God bringing gold. Remember, you were in here on Friday. We were talking about God bringing gold out of garbage. And so what we talked about is Jesus came from Nazareth, and a lot of people don't know that Nazareth was like, that's a great place to be from. not to live, per se. It's really just not the best place in the world. But there was another aspect I wanted to talk to you about God bringing gold out of garbage. Now, watch this. Watch this. You will absolutely, absolutely love this if you catch this, okay? Hugely important, okay? All right. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? Okay, this is Mary responding to the angel Gabriel, okay? What did Mary call herself? A virgin, right? She's a virgin. What does that mean? She's a virgin. I think we all know what that means, right? I don't know what triple virgin means for olive oil, but that's besides the point. Virgin, okay, fine. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon, father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Rahab, that's Rahab from the Joshua book. She was the prostitute, the harlot that the spies went and talked to her to get information about the city. By the way, for those that are not sure about these kind of things, the prostitutes of the cities had more general information because of the people that would visit and would be, you know, powerful city people, powerful governmental people, and people would spill the beans in the wrong way. So the spies, they went, they talked to Rahab, they got the information, they told her what they were going to do. Rahab's like, hey, yeah, I'm in on this. This is the Lord. I want to be a part of this. But watch, in the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, we have Rahab discussed, and we also have, in the genealogy of Luke, Mary discussed. Rahab is a prostitute. Mary is a virgin. Get this from the genealogies. God used a prostitute and a virgin to bring about the birth of Christ. How about that? Think about this. God used the far extreme on one end and the other far extreme on the other end and used both of those extremes to bring about the birth of Jesus Christ. What you got to catch is that God, because he is so awesome, can go either direction to bring about his plans and his purposes, even from people we wouldn't think would be fitting into the puzzle. God says they fit into my puzzle. And you know, if somebody had said to the Pharisees, the lineage is coming through Rahab, they would have went, oh no, that's not true. And it's like, oh yes, it is true. Because God uses unbelievable power to bring about his incredible purposes using everybody and everything he wants. Before people freak out too much, just consider this. God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet, which pretty much tells you everything you want to know. God goes, well, I'm going to make this donkey talk. He's going to rebuke the prophet. Is that funny or what? I mean, you don't tell me God's not a sense of humor. And then the donkey and the prophet were in an argument. He was arguing with his donkey before he realized what was going on. And by the way, the donkey was winning. God used a prostitute and God used a virgin. And God uses the messy and the almost as clean as can be and everything in between because he's God. And that's how he operates. And he doesn't ask anybody's permission. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important part and point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me and I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. How delightful to hear that James Robeson piece talking about God using imperfect vessels and us just finishing the teaching on God using virgins and prostitutes. I mean, that is just right in sync together. Amazing. And I had nothing to do with it. I love stuff like that because it makes me think, ooh, goosebumps. Ooh, goosebumps. All right. Let's see. I sound okay? Everything going? That's fine. All right, here we go. The next trivia question. Much tougher. Much tougher. For what reason did the rich young ruler come to Jesus Christ? He came to Jesus Christ. Why did he come to Jesus Christ, the rich young ruler? He came for a reason. What was the reason that he came? I'm going to leave that right there. What was the reason that he came? You want to text 214-210-8483. You can also call in at the 972-445-0770. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Boy, these headphones are much nicer than the ones I was just, you know, these are like, they sound so much better. It's so weird. It's amazing that $10 can do so much in the world of sound. Okay, that's the trivia question that we got out there. My one-eared headset is having its own little problems. I had to switch back to my other set. Straightforward, let's go. What was the reason the rich young Sammy Davis Jr., personal friend of mine? That was great. That was an excellent play. You just need more. You need more sounds. What was the reason the rich young ruler came to Christ? If you think you know that, you go ahead and answer. We got people texting in. I'll wait and see if anybody calls in. If not, I'll give the answer towards the end of the show. This is one of my favorites. I have taught it before already because it has been almost 2 years. It's been a year and nine. Yeah, it's a year. What is today? Today is like the 21st.
First, yes.
Yeah. So it's been a year and 9 months. We've done 21 months Moving it along, this is one of my favorite teachings in the world because it challenges you and me to think of God in broader terms. One of the problems that people have when they pray is they think that they're trying to extract something from God because he's so tight-fisted. And it's like, that is not who God is. Now, I understand there are people like that. I understand there's fathers like that and authority figures like that. I get it. I'm not trying to say anything contrary to that. People actually who are authority figures, who are images towards God, have a very tight hand position. But God is not like that. In fact, as you go through Romans chapter 1, verse 16, you find out that he not only gave us Christ, but also blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And the scripture says it in Romans 8:32, if he gave us Jesus Christ, how would he not give us all things? God is very generous. And we don't think of him as generous oftentimes when we pray. And we need to think of how he has given us his son, Jesus Christ, as a demonstration of that generosity. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 through 2, Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, the gate of Samaria, there will be 6 quarts of fine meal, and they will sell for a shekel, and 12 quarts of barley, they will sell for a shekel." Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make the windows in heaven open, could this really happen? Even if the Lord were to make the windows in heaven open, could this really happen?" Well, that's the question, isn't it? Can this really happen? That's where you go into passages like God brings birth into somebody's life who should never have a baby. And then the Lord gives you the little, nothing is too hard for the Lord. It's that very same principle that when you pray, if you believe that God can, do you believe God can do it? Well, how we answer this question when we pray tells us so much about our genuine Christian faith. Do we really think that the things that we're going to pray, that really think the things that we're petitioning, do we really think they're going to happen or they can happen? Do you think God cares enough to make it happen? Do you think God can do it? And I think one of the things that Christians go through is they have to decide whether God can do it, and then they have to decide whether God wants to do it, and then they have to decide whether God wants to do it for them. And those are these barriers that we have that draws faith down to the ground and steps on it. But Scripture's quite clear that those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. God rewards that. He loves that. But how we answer that question tells us so much about our faith. Do you really believe that God is able to do it? Do you really believe that it could happen? And I think what happens is if we don't believe it in some of these smaller, let me say this kindly, some of these smaller, less significant things, how are you believing it that we're talking about Jesus splitting the sky wide open and ushering in a new era for his kingdom? And that's what happens. Christians look at the things that go about them. They look at the world. They look at the political scenes. They look at the news, and they think that's the solution and the answer, and everything's wrapped up there. Are you serious? I don't think we understand that if God decided the earth will stop spinning it does. No more spin. It's up to the Lord. If the Lord says the sun will not rise, it does not rise. Every day. Okay? Toughy, huh? Toughy. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
All right, my brother. This is a good question. A tough one, though, huh? For what reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, what reason did the rich young ruler come to Jesus Christ?
Well, what good thing can I do to receive eternal life?
That's exactly correct. He wanted to know what he could do to get eternal life. And so he came to Jesus, figured out, well, this guy's probably got the answers. He probably knows. But he wanted to know what he could do. He wanted to know what effort he could put into it. Or he wanted to know what the price tag was so he could pay for it. And exactly. That was not the answer. The answer was, well, when you're done being you and you decide to be mine, you're on the right track.
Yep.
Excellent job, my brother. Very good answer. Sure. Thank you.
Bless you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Superb. That's a tough one. That's why that was a tough one. You know, I really do like the sound of this headset better. Is it weird or what? It doesn't sound any different, does it?
It doesn't, but, I mean, if you like it, I love it.
Okay. That's right, everybody. Remember that. If I like it, then everybody else should love it. Okay. Yeah, that'll be the day. Anyhow. All right, let's go back to this. That's just funny now. I'm going to think about that the whole way home and laugh. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you come before the Lord, you petition the Lord, and that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a question of faith. And Jesus brings this up. He talks about faith twice as much as he talks about the poor. I mean, just so that you can get on the page with Jesus, okay? He's like, you're not going to believe. Ain't nothing happening. Why? If you don't believe, we be done. What's it? You know, wrap it up. Show's over. And it's like, that's the key. That's the vehicle that God has chosen for us to engage with him in. It's faith. It's faith. And you're that faith that you have, let's see how we can say this. There are times when I pray and it dribbles out of my mouth. Barely. There's other times I pray and I feel really bold. Right? But with no faith, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a ton of faith. It just has to be the size of a mustard seed, right? But with no faith, nothing gets done. And that's the reality. And people are like, well, you know, I'm having faith for this, or I'm having faith for this, for our country, for our politics, for this. Why don't you have faith in God for the kingdom of God? Then build everything else off that. Let's just start at the seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you. Oh, okay. That's where we start. See what I'm saying? All right. You know I love you guys. I'm not mad or anything. I'm really actually happy I switched my headset because this sounds so much better. Y'all sound 10 times better. Oh, wait, I can't hear you guys. Okay, I sound a lot better in this. So that's all I'm saying. All right. On Wednesday, we got a really cool message. Tomorrow, we have some very, very fascinating stuff. On Thursday, I'm doing a play, two sermons you've never heard, gonna be on the radio, gonna be pretty interesting. Let's hope that everybody's blessed by it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.